Verse 3, and we'll begin in verse 1, 2 Timothy 3, and verse 1. And Brother Johnson, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this opportunity to be in your house today, Father. We just thank you for the freedom we have, for the freedom just to open up your word and allow you to speak to our hearts today. I pray to be a pastor and to bring forth your word, just filling with wisdom and power of the Holy Spirit to preach your word, Father.
Amen. Amen. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. This know also that in the what?
Last days,
perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Well, the title of this message is Plagues, Pestilence, and Protest. Plagues, Pestilence, Protest. So number one, a little review on what we've seen in the past weeks. Number one, we have seen some likenesses of the plagues. We've witnessed locust plagues in Africa, India, Saudi Arabia, some at places like Mecca, in the very holy sites of Islam. Iran, China. So we witnessed locust plagues there. In fact, I gave you many quotes back several weeks ago about even some very liberal media outlets have likened the locust plagues of this year and last to biblical proportions. I mean, normally media outlets that would mock the Holy Word of God have actually called these locust plagues a biblical plague of locusts. So interesting. If you hold your place here, turn to me to Exodus 10, Exodus chapter 10 and verse 4. Exodus 10 and verse 4. The Bible says, "Else if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow will I bring the locust into thy coast. And they shall cover the face of the earth, that one cannot be able to see the earth, and they shall eat the residue of that which is escaped, which remaineth unto you from the hail, and shall eat every tree which groweth for you out of the field, and they shall fill thy houses, and the houses of all thy servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither thy fathers nor thy fathers' fathers have seen, since the day that they were upon the earth unto this day." And he turned himself and went out from Pharaoh. I talked in there about something that hadn't been seen, not in their fathers nor their father's day. And I think of it in Grand Rapids, one of the news people was saying that she had worked for a news organization in Grand Rapids for 20 years and she had never seen riots like was going on in Grand Rapids. And I mentioned something about, well, 1968, one of my grandfathers worked in Grand Rapids, and I remember he was working right down there in a factory, and the riots were going on. They were overturning cars, and he had some type of weapon with him, some type of club or something, he put under his seat just to protect himself in case he got into one of those mobs. But the Lord protected him. And so this lady obviously hasn't worked long enough to remember back to 68. But in this instance of the locust plague, it'd be something way beyond what any of them or their ancestors had ever seen before. And we also gave you reference, notice in Exodus 7, to the water turning to blood. And there's been instances last year and this year in certain rivers turning red. Now, no one has said that it was actual blood, but it was blood red. In Exodus 7, verse 15, "Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out unto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink against he come. And the rod which was turned to a serpent shalt thou take in thine hand. And thou shalt say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldst not hear. Thus saith the Lord, In this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with a rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood." So we noticed when we talked about this that I had never anticipated that the Lord might send some likenesses of the 10 plagues upon Egypt before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we are actually seeing some of these things take place right now. And it made me think, well, when God sent the plagues upon Egypt, what was about to happen? Well, God was about ready to remove his people out of Egypt. Egypt stands for the world. It's always pictured the world. The promised land is always pictured heaven. So God was about ready to remove his people from the world and take them to the promised land, to heaven. Now, as we mentioned before, it took them a little over a year, and they would have normally, at Kadesh Barnea, had the opportunity to go in. But they refused to go in, so it was another 40 years of wandering. So I'm not trying to say that the Lord might come back next week, because he might come back tonight. So don't set a date, just expect him at any moment. Matthew 24:44. Just be ready at any moment. But we're seeing all these things take place. And so right now, what is happening? Well, the Lord is going to rapture up. Rapture means catching away. God is going to catch away his church out of this old world. Notice in John 14, where is he taking us? Well, he's told us. We certainly don't have to fear where he's taking us. We can rejoice. In John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be what? Troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Many mansions. I received some news notes, and it talked about this man that had two mansions, a very wealthy man. And in one of his mansions, his basement is dedicated to a Christmas village. Maybe some of you saw this too, but I forget how many square feet this mansion is. But it showed a picture down in his basement. It's a cobblestone road and little storefronts all along the road. And he had some old antique cars that are down there. And so they were really just oohing and aahing over this mansion. I think, I was thinking that one was $4 million, but maybe it's more than that. But he has another one that's also up for sale for $15 million. And in that one, he has an airplane hanging from the ceiling. And it showed pictures. I don't know what size of a plane it is, what type exactly, but it showed it. It showed this long, large living room with two stories tall, and around the whole living room is like a balcony, a railing, where you can walk all the way around. And I don't know if there's rooms or just windows outside of that, but up on the level of this airplane hanging from the roof. So he's a guy who has lots of money, I guess, and wants to do exotic things. But we have a mansion waiting us that's much better than that. The airplane he has is not going to fly anywhere, being hung from the ceiling. It's not going to go anywhere. But the Lord has prepared for us many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for who? For you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. This mansion will be much more glorious, much more wonderful. But that's what the Lord is going to catch away his church. And we are seeing a lot of likenesses of things that happened before that carrying away of his people out of Egypt, the world, to the promised land. Notice in 1 Thessalonians 4. Now, there's a lot of people, as we see more and more things come, people I've already read, they said, we're not even over coronavirus. Things haven't really opened fully back up from that. And now the riots? Now we're talking about curfews and National Guard coming out, not to haul medical supplies, but to enforce curfews. Shut down again. What's going on? 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from where? From heaven, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up together. People say, well, the word rapture doesn't appear anywhere in Scripture. Well, here's the meaning of it right here. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. SpaceX finally got up its rocket yesterday, a private company actually flying our astronauts. Our government couldn't figure it out. Our government organization, NASA, been, 10 years or a little more since we've sent men up. And some outsider figured it out. It's been sending up lots of rockets. SpaceX, the owner of Tesla Motors. You know what? Our government is not going to be able to figure out the problems. But you know what? There's an outsider that has it all figured out. And he's our creator. Amen? And he's going to come back in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And they're going to call him the Prince of Peace one day. Something that no leader can figure out today. Caught up together. Notice now verse 18. Wherefore what? Comfort one another with these words. Listen, the world is going to get more and more in turmoil the more things happen. It's like endless, it seems like. Endless. Then they're thinking, what in the world is happening? Well, it's what is out of this world is what is happening. Someone is in control and has a plan, and man is totally out of control and has no plan. They go to Grand Rapids, they go to all these cities and take part in utter chaos. How are they feeling this morning? Well, just as rotten as they felt last night for the things that they did. So we've seen the likenesses of the plagues. Number two, we have seen great pestilence. Remember the definition of pestilence: a contagious or epidemic disease that is virulent and devastating. Now, not nearly as many died with coronavirus as their data showed could have. Their models were wrong. That's from Merriam-Webster's 11th Collegiate Dictionary, that definition. But the likeness, coronavirus, nonetheless, was a likeness of plagues in Egypt and plagues and pestilences yet to come. Notice in Matthew chapter 24. Well, sometimes we use verses in Matthew 24 to talk about the rapture, and that is because there are some likenesses to the rapture. But specifically, Matthew 24 is talking about the tribulation period. Look in verse 7, Matthew 24, 7. For nation shall rise against nation. We are seeing that happen. I just read this week, China and India. There's a very heated skirmish going on their border. China claims something, some land, India claims it. And in just 1 month, they showed a satellite image of what China is building, an airport, more like an army base. It's got fighter jets. You can see them right on the whatever you call it, where they park the planes. But there's been many buildings added in just like a month or two of time. And things are really heating up over there. And, of course, China is no friend of ours. Iran, there's so many things. But the Bible says here in verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and what? Pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. They're talking about out in Yellowstone. The ground there has risen 5 inches. It's bulging 5 inches. And they say that if Yellowstone, which I think they say is the largest active volcano in the world, they say if that ever goes, that like half of America will be buried in volcanic dust and ash. People talk about American pride. Forget the American pride. We better be humbling ourselves before God Almighty. We've talked about it many times, but in Leviticus 18, when sodomy is allowed to rule and reign, when abortion numbers 35 is allowed to carry on, just think, in our very own state, abortion clinics were deemed essential. We were deemed non-essential. But by the grace of God, an exception was made not to prosecute churches, but only by the grace of God. Listen, what happened to those nations who got involved in sodomy and bestiality? God drove them out. You can read about it in Leviticus 18. The land itself would vomit them out. Very descriptive language. Verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows, and then the persecution will come. And you may say, well, I don't understand how this is talking about the tribulation period. Well, look in verse 15, Matthew 24, 15. When ye therefore shall see what? The abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. So the abomination of desolation is when the Antichrist sets himself up as God in the temple in 2 Thessalonians 2. So this is the tribulation period, but we're seeing some of these things happen already. So you may say, well, I don't understand about the famine part. When have we seen a famine? Verse 7 there said, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines. Well, they're saying that famine could come, especially to many poorer nations, because of coronavirus. Several reasons. One being that people were shut down. I mean, even in our own state, there was a period of time when we were told that you couldn't go buy gardening supplies at the time when you needed to plant your garden. So things like that affect it. Even in America, because things shut down, because coronavirus got into some of the meat packing plants, millions of chickens have been just slaughtered and disposed of. Pigs, the same. Farmers could not afford to keep feeding them when there was no income, so they just slaughtered them. And it's a shame, isn't it, that those weren't dispersed to people that could, okay, so the big slaughterhouses are shut down. Disperse those animals to smaller localities, small butchers that at least don't let it go to waste. But no, millions of animals in America have been just slaughtered and disposed of. All that meat was just wasted. But in some of these nations as well, you know, you have businesses going under. And so they're saying there's going to be famines, and especially the third world countries. But I'm talking about another famine today. Notice with me in Amos 8. Amos chapter 8. Hosea, Joel, Amos chapter 8. I'm talking about a famine with eternal consequences here. Amos 8 and verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send what? A famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of what? Hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek what? The word of the Lord, and shall what? Not find it. How could this be fulfilled when God preserves his word for every generation? I tell you how, we have seen a little picture of it. Just like we have seen a little likeness of what is coming. The world is thinking, oh, this is terrible. Well, it's only going to get worse, much worse for the unsaved. Because coronavirus hit, and what happened? Churches, not just in America, but around the entire world were shut down. Some of our missionaries, unless today is a different day, their church is still shut down, not allowed to meet. We have missionaries in Asia. Well, I know of missionaries in Asia. And to my knowledge, they are still not able to meet. So it's the world over. We've been communicating with people in Myanmar. And there's another one over in that section of the world. But they ask if we could send our Bible courses to them through like PDF files. And so I was communicating and saying, why don't you just want us to send you booklets? And he finally told me, he said, we are not allowed to meet as a church. And so I'm just trying to keep our people busy in the Word of God. So if you could send the Bible courses PDF file, then I can just send them on to our people. And we can all be doing the same thing as a church or a class. I don't know if it was Sunday school or I don't know. So I said, sure. So we did that. We're talking about something the world over. You know, there's all kinds of people that think, someday I'm going to go to church and get saved. Well, what happened with coronavirus? Most churches the world over were shut down. Most churches the world over were forbidden to meet. That's exactly what's going to happen when the rapture happens, although in that instance, the whole true church is going to be what? Gone. And these people who had this idea, someday, I know I've received an invitation like Brother Steve said of this man. Someday I plan on going to church, just not now. Well, you know what? When the rapture happens, and then suddenly, oh, catastrophe. Where is everybody? I need to go to church. You know, the only churches that are going to be left are what? False churches. You can read about them in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And they're going to believe the lie. In fact, let's go there for a moment. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. All those people are going to believe the lie. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 9. Even him who's coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not what? The love of the truth, that they might be what? Safe. And for this cause God shall send them strong what? Delusion, that they should believe what? A lie. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And isn't that why they're not getting saved today? Because they're having pleasure in unrighteousness. That's why they're saying, Well, I won't go to church this week, but I'll go. I'll surprise you sometime. I'll be there. Might be too late, mightn't it? Just think, with all the things happening around us, where are they? Where are they? Why aren't they coming? Because in verse 12, they're having pleasure in unrighteousness. They're thinking, oh, I've got time. You know, it's kind of like there's a train coming down the tracks, even though there's not too many situations like that anymore. Most of the trains are gone. But it's someone trying to race. I'll beat it. I'll beat the train. Maybe they won't beat the train. There was hardly a church open. They're just starting to open back up right now. Listen, that is a small picture of what is going to happen worldwide. And the only thing that's going to open it back up for the gospel are God's two witnesses in the book of Revelation. That's what's going to open it back up. Now, I know that even though the churches have been closed down, I know that many churches now are live streaming, and some are doing like parking lot services. They're getting the FM sending unit. So I know, and there's been some blessings. I mean, we know that in our absence to the assisted living, some of them at least are having more people come than when we were there. So we're thanking the Lord, like in the book of Revelation, God has opened the door just a little bit for us, just to slip a DVD through. And so we rejoice. There are some wonderful things that have happened. Some of our missionaries up in the far north, because of all this and doing a little short live stream, now they've had more visitors than they've ever had visit them. So God is doing some wonderful things. That's great. But a poll was recently taken of professing Christians who have been unable to attend church during this coronavirus. And they polled them and asked them, how many of you have been listening to the live stream of your church that you attend? 48% said they haven't watched one. Not one live stream service since everything was closed down. Can you believe that? Not one. Not one service. I just wonder, when things finally do open back up, I just wonder what church attendance is going to look like. I'm not so sure what it's going to look like. So that's an eye-opener. But think of all the evangelism that has ceased. We're talking about Amos 8, a famine of the Word of God. Door-to-door work, I think, the world over has almost ceased. People are so afraid of germs, social distancing. You know, how are you going to stay 6 feet away from someone and hand them a gospel tract unless you have an extendable something, you know? And then it's like, but your germs are on it, you know? Now, I know people still take tracts, but a lot of it has ceased. Door-to-door witnessing, bus ministries have ceased. Evangelistic meetings have ceased. Could be because you can't meet with a group. Think of it. Someone just mentioned to me, I think it was yesterday, that the Danish festival has been canceled. So I looked it up. The Danish festival overall, it's not totally canceled. The beer tent is open, but the parade is canceled. The beer pavilion, that's been deemed essential to the Danish Festival Committee. That's still going to be functioning, where they go get drunk, but the parade, they've canceled it till next year. So for 28 years, I think if I was right on my math, for 28 years, we've been able to get out the gospel to thousands of people every Danish festival. But this year, There's going to be a famine of the Word of God in that time slot. It's not going to go forth. It's canceled. That's what I'm talking about, Amos 8. There's going to be a famine of the words of God, Amos 8 and verse 11. So we've seen some likenesses of the plagues. We've seen great pestilence. We've seen a famine and are just fully realizing it. Because of all this, there is becoming a famine of the Word of God. Now, don't come to me afterwards and say, but I know the Word of God is going out. And God has opened some doors for us, even greater doors than we had in some instances. But nonetheless, I hope you understand what I mean. But number four, we are seeing riots and flames. Last night, America was on fire. Detroit, Grand Rapids, Chicago, New York City, Atlanta, just around the whole country. America was in flames last night. Why? This is but another part of this puzzle. Look at 2 Timothy 3 once again. 2 Timothy 3 and verse, let's go to verse, well, let's start in verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, 1. This know also that in what? The last days, perilous times shall come. Last night, some of the local TV news people were just trying to film and got beat up a little bit. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Perilous times are not safe times. They're dangerous times. Why? Verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's why. Covetous. That was seen in Grand Rapids last night. People were covetous, breaking windows and stealing things out of the stores. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, just blaspheming the police, using God's name. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. They're so unthankful to be an American because they're destroying what freedom offers. Verse 3, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. Incontinent is defined from Strong's Concordance as without self-control. That's what these rioters are. They are incontinent. They are without self-control. And then it says, verse 3, fierce. Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary defines fierce as violent. They said the Grand Rapids police station, one news crew said they couldn't see one window in the police station downtown in Grand Rapids that's not broken. I don't know if that's true, but that's what they said. Violent, furious, rushing, easily enraged, wild, ferocious. That's all from that word fierce in verse 3. Violent, furious, rushing, easily enraged, wild, ferocious. People are saying, what's going on? Well, as Christians, we ought to know what's going on. This has been foretold. Verse 1, in the last days perilous times shall we come. People will be, as it says, incontinent, without self-control. They'll be furious, rushing for violence. So what should we be doing? Well, let's go to Psalm 90, verse 12. Psalm 90, verse 12. Now, there's a lot of people in the world that have still not woken up what's happening. But our question is, what should we be doing? What can we do? Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to what? Number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Okay, we're told to number our days. How many of you are going to live another 20 years? You don't know, do you? How many of you are going to live another 10 years? We don't know. How many of you are going to live till next Sunday? We have no guarantee, do we? None. James chapter 4. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. James 4 and verse 14. James 4, 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even what? A vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. The point is this. None of us know if we have another day. They broke in last night into the prosecutor's office, the county prosecutor. The windows are all smashed out of it. And they stole files out of the prosecutor's office. I don't know how, you know, I don't know how many files, how that's going to interrupt how many court cases. I don't know. But I do know this, God still has the records. And those people are not getting away with anything. What should we do? We don't know if we have another day, so we need to do the right thing today. Notice in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 and verse 12. Titus 2 and verse 12. It says, teaching us that denying what? Ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live what? Soberly, righteously, and godly, where? In this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious what? Appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we should be living holy lives, verse 12. Holy lives. It's time for us not to worry about what the world says about us. It's time not to worry about that. It's time, high time, to worry about what God thinks and knows about us. Listen, now is not the time to try to be hiding something on your computer or on your phone or any place else. Because you know what? Time is running out. Time is running out. Notice in Romans 13, Romans 13, 11. Romans 13, 11. You know. Romans 13, 11. And that knowing the what? The time that now it is what? High time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation what? Nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not what? In rioting, in drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust. Listen, it's high time that we as Christians number our days. We don't know if we have another day. That's the point. Today, all of us must do the right thing. Is there someone you want to witness to? Don't wait till tomorrow to write that letter or send that gospel tract. Let me give you some encouragement. Is there someone you want to witness to? Then put a gospel tract in an envelope. Not tomorrow. Do it today. Get your stamp. Put it on it today. Seal the envelope today. And have it ready for the mail. Or if you go by a mailbox, drop it in. The point is that's just one example of something we can do. But the point is we don't know if we have tomorrow. God seems to be doing these things in rapid succession. And this, all this rioting is just part of what God said would happen in the last days. So may we not be fearful. May we be faithful in serving the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We know that the rapture is a comfort to God's people unless we're not faithfully serving you. And then it's more like a high blood pressure thing. It's nervousness. Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, what should each of us be doing today? If you were to come back tonight, what should we be doing today? These riots, we know, are just another part of this puzzle. And these things are happening in rapid succession. Lord, are we really ready to meet you? Are we using our talents? What gifts, what talents have you given each of us? I pray the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. How are we using them? Are we using them at all? Lord, it's high time for us to use them, to be serving you. Lord, please speak to our hearts as only you can. We pray in Jesus' name.